Sadama Meditation Society, Virginia, Full Retreat 2016, the 5th day, December 4th, Interview English Myanmar Group.
My question is about how to deal with addiction. I have an addiction for sweet, and I watch the reactive mind when they're facing a dessert, a sweet treat. The first 3 days at the retreat, I do not take any sweet treat after a meal. Going on to the fourth day, and I can see the mind can aware of there is an ongoing conversation. This is not good. You can continue to refrain from it. And somehow, somewhat at the end, it say just a little bit, just half a cup of dessert, and somehow it give in. And I would like to have some more light in how to see it, how to observe it, how to other way, because I know that there is other sort of addiction of like shopping or food or any other things. Thank you.
ไอ้ที่อ่ะไอ้อดิชั่นผิดอ่ะหลีกว่ามากล้องเนี่ยโหลทีนะครับเอออ้ายเฉยมาผิดได้สึกกูเนี่ยจิจิไปแล้วมาไอ้สึกนี่ใหญ่กว่าได้เฉยเนี่ยมากูลงนี่แหละไอ้สาวเนี่ยอายุอยู่ตัวตรงตัวนี้เนี่ยลงไปว่าสัตว์ตัวอ่ะไม่กล้าไม่กล้าสุโปรซ่ามีเนี่ยไอ้อย่างเดียวอ่ะไอ้โหลโหดีโหลนี้ไม่กล้าติอยู่เนี่ยเราไม่เอาตัวดูตะดิทาไปแล้ว
ดิทาไปแล้วดิงาสายปุอยู่ในมาอย่างนี่ล่ะตะบอนน่ะซาจิบ่เอาดิทาไปซาจิอ่ะมั้ยไอ้เฉยมันขึ้นได้สึกกูจิสึกอดิก็รอบอ่ะเว้ยรอบอ่ะก็เนี่ยทีนะรอบอ่ะไม่ใช่แค่จะတော့เราก็ก็เนี่ยไม่ใช่หรอกอือเออกูก็โยโย่ตอดๆอย่างเพียงอ่ะมั้ยโหไม่ก็ไม่ก็ลูกก็ไม่แท้ทันน่ะเอาดิไม่ก็ไม่ก็ไม่ใจนี่ใจนี่เลยลูกเปียเซเวอร์เซอร์เพลย์ไม่ก็ไม่ติดกันเนี่ยใจนี่นะเนี่ยมันแมทช์ไม่ขึ้นเลย
instruction that the real nam na ma cha instruction pile ni ya ni tu ma ni ya yogi de la lo tu lo instruction go ya khoe lo lop pi lo cha au le tu lo ma lo so go back up lo lo cha au lo ma cha au le tu ni
lo ku ye ye da ba phi
so Sarah said that is as we get addicted to something when the mind likes it, feels that it is good, believes that it is good. Okay, so it's no use telling yourself it's not good, it's not good. That's not lying to your mind. So Sierra says it's more useful to just admit the mind likes this very much. And watch that. The mind likes this very much. The mind thinks it's really good to eat dessert. And he says then, when you are going to eat dessert, to approach it mindfully so you know how much you like it. Watch that, he said. Watch how much you like it. Take the dessert, sit down, watch how much you like it. And he says, if you can, keep watching until the desire like calms down a little bit. And then when it's calmer, then eat. And then see what the mind thinks when it's calmer, rather than just eating with that push-pull in the mind. So when there's a lot of desire in the mind has a certain way of, it thinks that this is very nice, very good, and so on. But when you're able to watch it and it calms down, he says, then, he says, when you approach the same thing, check to see what whether the mind still thinks it's as good as when it had that much desire.
My last question is, how's the mind activity with depression? When there is a mild depression, then you can go and run or find a friend to talk, have some social activity, and that may overcome. But when what are the things that we should look for? We should that would be helpful when we deal with it.
Still in a mild depression.
Yes, because I know that in a more heavier case, then definitely medication need to be part of the treatment. But you know, in a because there was a days of flat mood. There was day of that was my depression. So I would like to have some more light shed in that after my activity with that. Thank you.
Sick a mild depression, Pierre. Hello. Depression is a type of dosa. Depression is the result of frustrated desires. The mind is not getting what it wants. The stronger the thing, the stronger our desire for the things we want, which we can't get, the bigger the depression becomes. So you have to be mindful. So there's two things you need to do. One is you need to make the mind strong. And to make the mind strong, it means you have to be mindful all the time, either by doing a samatha kind of exercise whenever you're free, and the other is to be mindful in all other activities when you're not doing, paying attention to one object type of exercise to strengthen the mind. And then Sierra says, so first, he said, this is the first thing, you have to keep the mind strong. He says, it's not enough to start wanting to do something when the depression has come. You must start working now in preparation. And the second thing to do, Sierra said, is every time you notice the mind wants something, watch that mind. Watch the feeling, watch that mind. It can be that you want to, it can be the mildest things, but train your mind to spot the desires in the mind. So every time the mind wants something, no matter how mild, we watch the desires in the mind. And he says, if we watch and we watch and the power of the desires start losing their strength because we are watching so much, Sarah says, then the depression will not have so much power anymore. Because there's less desire in the mind. Depression is a sign that sati, samadhi, panya, are not strong in the mind, right? They are not allowed to be. They are not the qualities that are being cultivated constantly in the mind, then the mind is weak because there's not enough sati, samadhi and panya. Then the mind has depression. If the mind has samadhi, sati and panya, it will not be depressed. He says, when there are things we want, we will keep thinking about the things we want. And then when we cannot get these things that we want, we will be unhappy about the fact that we can't get the things that we want. And then we will keep complaining in our minds about these things that we cannot get. And this is going to lead to depression. It's a cycle. We think about the things we want, we get frustrated, we think about the things we can't get, you know, we're unhappy because we can't get them, and we get into this cycle, he says, and of course the mind is going to start get, it becomes a habit for the mind, and then the mind gets depressed. And what do we do so that the mind doesn't go into this cycle, this cyclic kind of thinking about what it wants, what it can't get, what it wants, what it can't get? How do we prevent the mind from doing that? And we do that by being mindful. Because when we are mindful, we are not allowing the mind to just only think unchecked. We're aware. And being aware develops samadhi, develops panya, and yeah, so the thoughts are not allowed to rule our minds. Yes.
I have three questions. So the first question is, before, when I had some thought, especially some disliking thought, so I started to like blame myself. I was thinking something I should not be thinking. But yesterday I realized that that is my watching mind. Another watching mind. It started to notice the thinking. Yesterday I realized.
You said you had some disliking mind.
Yeah, some thought. Uh-huh. It's like a disturbing thought. I'm just watching something. There's some thought comes up.
Yeah.
So before I thought that is not good, just like a disturbing or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday I realized, okay, I can watch. Actually, that's my watching mind. It's the watching, observing another thinking mind.
Uh-huh.
That's
okay.
I found that.
Yeah.
I realized. Is that right?
This happens when you realize that what you know is the object, right? It's being watched. There is a knowing, therefore you know this, right? And yeah, so then you're not involved or judging it anymore.
Yes,
so then you don't find it disturbing anymore, right? Because the wisdom is stronger. Wisdom that understands that this is just being known. It's just an object, yes.
Yeah, I feel like a relief. Also.
Yes, now it's right view. Whenever there's right view, we feel free, right? Yes. Right view always comes when we truly understand, right?
Yes.
When there's right realize, when we realize the right thing, you know, there's right view, then yeah.
I process the shin in the detail of the realization level. Realization line, put a deep bapit by the so, a beam jump on. The detail you check about level is when realization people, realization pain by pillar, a mean man or a human or a twig on my own. I don't agree with my own. Who do the people?
Yeah, Sarah says, why are we being mindful? There's this process, right? We're being mindful so that we can understand things as they are. When we understand things as they are, that is right view. When there is right view, the mind is wholesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the second question is, if I feel like a pig, painful somewhere, like a sitting long time, pig, And then I followed the Sayadaw's instruction to watching the disliking mind. Mm. But later I worry that if that's to watch that disliking mind, that's like changing attention. Sorry, can you repeat that bit? Okay. So if I feel somewhere's painful. So then I try to change mind to watch that disliking mind.
Mm.
But I have a doubt. Is this kind of changes like a change attention, kind of like imagination?
Or is this kind of changing, a changing of what?
Change. For example, for example, if I feel pain,
yeah,
I change to my breath. So
no,
that's the change attention, it's not right.
That's a what? Distraction, did you say?
No, not a distraction. If I feel like my leg is pain.
I can't hear the word that you're using.
Oh, okay, sorry. So, firstly, if I feel like some body pain.
So, when you change from your pain to your breath, what did you call it?
That's just an example. Oh. So, if I change attention to another, like breath, that is not right.
Yes, right.
But my question is if I change my attention to watch my
disliking mind.
Disliking mind, is there still a change of attention too? Is that right?
It's not the same thing. Tuapyoraho, nara ne, majaitis seiko, jiyin ho nara ho, mashuga ne, ho ayong piyao na ho di, pangpeng shura ne, tu la re, matu.
Ka panu le suro, nara ga, adi,
တကယ်မဟုတ်တာနာနာကဟိုရေရှင်းနဲ့ဆိုင်နေအဲအကြောင်းဆက်ဆက်နေလို့အကြောင်းကိုအကြောင်းတိရောလို့ရိုက်ဟိုဘောကတော့မဟုတ်ဘောကသူ့ကိုမတွေ့ချင်မတွေ့ချင်ဟိုကတိချင်တာမဟုတ်ဒါတကယ်ဟိုကတိချင်လို့ဒါအကြောင်းကျိုးဆိုတော့ဆက်ဆက်နေမှတိလို့အကြောင်းကိုရှင်းတာအဲဟုတ်တယ်ဒါတကယ်ကသူ့အကြောင်းအရင်ကိုသွားတယ်သူကတကယ်သူ့ကိုကြည့်တာဟိုကြီးရအောင်ဟိုကတကယ်သိတာမဟုတ်ဘောကမတွေ့ချင်လို့ when there is pain and we change the object to another physical object, you know, whether we change it to sound or rising, falling or breath or whatever, the reason we do that, he said, is so that we don't have to face the pain directly, right? But when it comes to pain and the reaction we have to the pain, the mental reaction we're having to the pain, now he has explained to us that pain is an effect, and one of the contributing factors to pain, one of the causes for pain, is the reaction in the mind. The reaction in the mind is changes our view of the pain, right? So it is distorting our view of the reality of the pain, right? So the reason we look at the reaction in the mind is because it is directly related to the pain, and it is the cause, it is the more important factor. We don't look at the effect, which is the pain, but we look at one of the contributing causes, which is the reaction in the mind. So we want to deal with the root of the problem rather than look at the effect, right? Okay. So that's why you look at the reaction in the mind, because if you can deal with the reaction in the mind and there is none, then you can look at
back to the pain.
You can come back to the pain with a less distorted or not distorted view.
Okay.
Well, that's why you have to deal with the reaction. Because our purpose is to understand the reality of the process of pain. Right? That's why you have to look at the reaction, because that's part of the process of the way we experience pain.
Okay.
A really important part, by the way. Yeah.
Okay.
When we're just jumping to another physical object, it's like the mind just doesn't want to face it. But here we are doing it in order to face this. Yeah, it's different motivation. So the motivation is important.
Good.
Yeah.
So the third question is, I try to observe the watching, like seeing.
Yeah.
But I feel that if I continue like for 1 minute or 2 minutes, then I feel tired.
Mm-hmm.
to watch it, to observe or see, it's a little bit tired.
Are you concentrating on the eyes?
The cuckoo shot.
You're concentrating on the eyes?
I try to observe my the process for seeing. Yeah. But still feel like tired.
See, so you're probably trying to look for something, is it? Trying too hard.
Maybe trying too hard. Because naturally, if I see something, I try to see that object. Then I try to...
He says too much energy trying to
bring back
the attention. Seeing or sight is one of the very subtle objects, and it's
obvious, but
subtly that you can't sort of quite grasp it. It's obvious that they're seeing, but he said it's hard to try to watch it continuously. He says so, and our habit is when we try to notice seeing, our attention goes to the objects that we see. So when we try to bring the attention back, we always use too much energy because it's something that we're not used to noticing in a natural way. So Seattle says it's better, instead of trying to see seeing or no seeing, to just have your attention in yourself, right? So you're just being aware. When you're just being aware, you have your eyes open. And because you have this information about seeing, every now and again your attention will go to sight. And you will notice seeing is happening. And it doesn't matter whether the attention goes to the outside object or whatever, you notice seeing is happening. And then you continue being aware, right? You don't continuously try to keep your attention on that thing, right? You just flow with your awareness. And if you notice many, many times, the mind will sort of slowly adjust to it. He says, even walking, for example, when we're walking meditation, he says we're walking along, like he says, naturally, we're walking, we're aware of this and that, you know, feeling, touching, moving, seeing, hearing, seeing is there, right? So he says that's what will happen. Very naturally, the mind will be aware of the things it's usually aware of, and once in a while, it will notice its seeing. Right? And that's when you recognize it. Notice seeing, and then go on.
Seeing and thinking are two different. The power can
see.
Thinking with some mind, one and two, thinking with some mind, two and papa. Mm. The chichi, never. Yeah,
seeing and thinking are very similar in nature, in that when we first recognize thinking mind or recognize seeing, the thing that we recognize is the concept, right? We recognize the things that we see or the things that we are thinking about rather than the thinking mind or the seeing itself. But if we keep observing it again and again, allowing the mind just to notice, oh, this is thinking is happening or seeing is happening, just recognizing that, not trying to go into the reality or anything, eventually the mind gets it, right?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
To know seeing, Seattle says there is no need to try very hard to keep the attention at the eyes and all that. He says just recognizing that seeing is happening is enough. You know, no need to do an whole exercise on it. Just recognize. As often as you do,
Thank you.
Good morning. My question is around an experience yesterday. I took Sayadaw's teachings of having a little hunger, and I'm kind of a wuss because it was really just a little bit of hunger, but I work with this because maybe I'm fearful of too much hunger before lunchtime. And I watched the greed all the way to the lunch hall. Watched the greed. And then started eating fast. And then I was watching the greed, and I realized I saw this moment of the feeling, the physical sensation, the action to reach the spoon to quickly grab came after the mind impulse. And this was a very big awareness to me, because I'd always been so driven by the physical feeling, noticing the physical, and I almost noticed this very subtle mind impulse first, and then the reaction of the physical. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, this is so subtle, I don't think I can do this again. And then I just kept with it. I noticed thirst, and I backtracked. It was like almost backtracking, and I'm like, where did that come from? And it was a mind. And then later, I kept with this all day. I noticed anger was subtle, and this was is anger subtle? This is my question, because I've been physically feeling anger, so now it seems so gross when it has taken so long to feel that physical feeling as gross, but is it subtle anger too? And that's kind of and I noticed a ton of delusion, which I've never noticed before, coming from the mind before a reactive state. Is that too much?
To mania. Shimpiaye. Wow. She pia tu you know pio tha da tin ne tu a sa mao chao da la ma ti u sa mao chao tu a shin pia ye ho ao you like the advice ko you brought tu a sa le ne na khan ji like de ne tu a de ke cha chao le ba de tu ko tu ba so ne ne li ro ko da su sa me a chin yauk do ma u yo ai a sa o ma khan ne ne li ma khan ji u so da tu mien ne de a lo ai su sa chao ma twa yin tu a ai ပြောပြီးတော့အခုကျတော့သူကလောဘလို့ပြောတယ်အဲ့လောဘစိတ်ကိုရှုနေတယ်တဲ့သူစားခြင်းစားခြင်းနဲ့ဟိုးစွန်းစားကြောင်းရောက်တဲ့အထိအဲ့ဆောင်နေတော့အဲ့လောဘစိတ်ကိုကြည့်နေတယ်ပြီးတော့သူစားတော့လဲစိတ်ကအရန်နဲ့စားခြင်းနေပြီသူယူခြင်းနေပြီအဲ့ဒါသူမြင်တော့တစ်ချိန်မှာရုပ်ဖြစ်ခြင်းသူမြင်လိုက်တယ်တဲ့သူဒီတခုတ်သွားယူမယ်လို့မလုပ်ခင်လေးတဲ့သူစိတ်ကတွန်းလိုက်တယ်ဆိုတာသူမြင်လိုက်တယ်သူနာ tu sik kha ma a lo sin sa le de da mai tu set chi de de set chi lo tu yin ngat de le yin ngat da tu da mai pyan sin sa lai de ba ya la le so tu mien ne sik kha ma tu
tau
chin ne so da tu tui de le na bro de ni go tu set ti ne de le set ti ne lo tu do da tein tein mwe mwe de shi ni la tu tui de le tu sik kha ma do da tein tein mwe mwe phit nai da la le tu ko tu mien de le အခုကျတော့အဲ့တော့တည်းရဟိုခန္ဓာကိုယ်လောက်ရောက်ပြီဆိုရင်သူက gross ဖြစ်နေပြီဒါပေမဲ့အဲ့ချိန်ကအဲတင်းနေမွမေပုဂ္ဂိုလ်သူမေးတယ်လေဒေါသတင်းနေမွမေတစ်ချိန်လုံးကိုတဲနိုင်နေလားပေါ့လေ
ဖြစ်နေတာ
မှန်ဖြစ်နေတာဖြစ်နေတာ
အမြင်နဲ့ရှိတာတော့မဟုတ်ဖြစ်နေတာပေါ့
နောက်တော့နောက်ဆုံးတစ်ခုကသူမောဟတွေလေသူအများကြီးအရင်တော့မရှိခဲ့တဲ့မောမတိခဲ့တဲ့မောဟတွေသူတတိထားမိတယ်လေအထူးသဖြင့် reaction မဖြစ်ခင်မဖြစ်ခင်စကြာလေးမှာစိတ်ကမောဟရည်အများကြီးဖြစ်နေတယ်ဆိုတော့သတိချမိကြတယ်ရေနော
်မောဟကြောင့်လေလောဘဒေါသတွေဖြစ်ခွင့်ရနေတာပေါ့ဟုတ်တယ်အဲ့တိုင်းမဲ့မှန်းနေအကလုံးကဒါလမ်းကြောင်းပဲ
မောဟဒေါသတွေဖြစ်ခွင့်ရနေတာ
လောဘဒေါသတွေဖြစ်ခွင့်ရတာမောဟကြောင့်ပဲဒါကြောင့်အမြင်ကိုမြင်တာပေါ့မှန်တယ်လေအဲ့တိုင်းပဲသူကတတိကောင်းလာရင်စိတ်က level အမျိုးမျိုးရှိတယ်လို့ပြောတယ်အမှန် level ဆိုတာမရှိဘူးစိတ်ကမှတင်နေမှုမဖြစ်တာကြီးချမ်းနေချင်းအာချမ်းချင်းဖြစ်လာတဲ့အထိ process ရှိ
yeah
အဲ့တော့နေရာလို့ပြောကြတယ်
အမှန
်နေရာမရှိဘူ
း
အဲ့တော့ဒီကောင်းကောင်းလာတော့စဖြစ်ဖြစ်ချင်းကိုတွေ့တာ
So you are noticing right, dosa. If you don't use the word anger, you use the word dosa, it's more understandable that it can be subtle. Whereas the word anger in English is not understandable when you use the word subtle, right? It starts off as maybe slight irritation or discomfort, and then it can grow into anger, right? So, yes,
but
he says...
almost didn't feel it in the body at all.
No, because it's just starting in the mind.
Yes, okay.
So, yeah. So he's just going to explain that. So... he says, and noticing the, I don't know why this thing is hissing at me all the time. I think it's still, can you bring it down a little bit more?
Jara,
the glory recording, nama ha 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 ha. So he says, and it's true that that you notice the delusion that is there before reactions, right? And it's true, he says, it's delusion that actually allows lobha and dosa to sort of take root, to start, you know, showing off, so to speak. And he said, the thing with subtle and gross, we sometimes talk about levels of mind or layers of mind. In fact, there are no layers or levels. He said, it's just about how entrenched or repetitive that quality is becoming in the mind.
Like from, how long it's been?
How frequently or how... It's being allowed to perpetuate itself. So when we first notice, if we notice an impulse to be annoyed or some discomfort immediately, it feels subtle because it's just maybe happened a few times in the mind. And when it keeps happening, and you know it's happening more frequently, more quickly, more closely in the mind, it feels like it's getting more intense. Because in fact, the mind isn't the speed that we think it is. It's like 100,000 times faster than we know it, right? Or even more. Yeah. So if you think of it in that way, then if it's just 1 out of 100,000, then it feels subtle. But when it's taken place, maybe 50,000 out of the 100,000, then it feels more intense, sort of thing. So the sooner we know it, right? The sooner we know it, the more subtle it feels, and that's where awareness comes in, right? When your awareness is well trained, it's like you're not trying to see it sooner, but the awareness notices it. So the sooner when you know it quickly, because when you know it in its earlier, more subtle stages, he says, then because it's not so strong yet, not so entrenched yet, then you know it and it fades away more quickly. Yeah. So at the subtle level, Seattle says, it's like all these little impulses of mind, they're always arising, you know, the impulse to have greed or aversion or wholesome minds, you know, they're always there. Always like ding dong, sort of thing.
I asked also myself, when it was so subtle, what's my attitude? That's what I asked myself, and that helped kind of, maybe it didn't have an answer. Maybe I didn't know if it was greed or anger, but it drew attention to the mind and less away, less personalizing it. I kept asking myself, what's the attitude in the mind? And that helped kind of see it before the reactive state more. Does that make sense? Like more of a subtle state of the mind.
So checking the attitude of your mind helped you to notice...
Before I reacted, kind of keep checking the attitude of the mind.
Right. So you notice those moments of...
uncertainty, but then... So I could easily drift off into a deluded state.
Right.
Or if I checked the attitude, then it would come back to kind of a check-in awareness.
You're right. And so that's how you notice the delusions before the reactions.
Yes, yes.
So you're doing fine, he says. Yeah. Just carry on like that.
Thank you.
Hi, I had two questions. Maybe my understanding of the right effort to that if something's unwholesome to maybe replace it with something wholesome. Like if there's sensory desire to see, to try to understand or to see that it's unsatisfactory in some way,
mm-hmm.
or if there's some type of anxiety to maybe have some patience, or if there or some contentment, or kind of replacing what's there with something wholesome. Is this superficial or is this correct?
Tu nale da lwe la ro ma ti u de tu wa nale tha da di lo ho a khu do sai phi khu do sai ne ho a sa tho tho pe bo a lo upa ma ko ra ga sai phit de so yin da ga chin nan hu ya ma chin nan hu mya ya ma ho ba u ho dukha dukha ro mho di lo ho lu lo kha mae
အဲ့လိုမျိုးစဉ်းစားတာတော့ကိုယ်စိတ်ကစိုးရိမ်နေတဲ့ဆိုရင်လည်းနည်းနည်းစိတ်ရှိဖို့ကိုယ့်ကိုယ်တိုက်တွန်းလာလို့ဒီအဲ့တော့ဒီဟာစူပါဖီရှယ်လောက်ပဲရတာလားဗမာလားမှားလားနည်းနည်းပြောပြပါဦးစူပါဖီရှယ်လောက်ပဲသူကဒါလူတိုင်းသုံးနေတာအဲ့တိုင်းပဲသုံးနေသူတို့တိတယ်လို့ဉာဏ်လေးနဲ့ပေါ်စတစ်ပဲတွေးပြီးတော့ပြေးလိုက်တယ်ဆိုတော့အပေါ်ဉာဏ်လေးပဲရတယ်နံပါတ်သင်နည်းရတယ်အများက
ဒီကောင်ကဖြစ်နေတဲ့အကုသိုလ်တတိတိုက်ထားလိုက်တဲ့အတွက်တတိထားတဲ့စိတ်ကပြစ်စုံပန်တက်လာအခုပြစ်စုံပန်ဖြစ်လာဟောလာတဲ့အကျိုးပေးဒီနှောင်းခဏခဏဖြစ်ခဲလို့အခုလည်းဒီတာဖြစ်တာအဲ့ဒါအကျိုးပေးအကျိုးပေးကတားလို့မရဘူးအလုပ်လို့ရတာပြစ်စုံပန်ပြစ်စုံပန်ဘာကံတော့မှာလဲဆိုတော့ခုနကကုသိုလ်ကံအဝဲလို့ကကုသိုလ်ကံဘာဆိုဒီဒီအကျိုးဒီဒီကု
ဒီတတိထားတာလဲနောက်အကျိုးကတော့မြန်ဖြစ်စေတယ်အဲ့ဒါကုသိုလ်ကပလက်စမှာလို့ရမှာကုသိုလ်ကအကျိုးပေးတာဒါမှတကယ်ကုသိုလ်ကလည်းအစားထိုးတာအစားဟုတ်ကဖြေတာနံပါတ်4အကျိုးရှိတယ်ဟိုကဖြေရုံပဲရှိတယ်ဟိုညာမဖြေဘူးလုံးအမြင့်မပြောက်ဘူးဟုတ်ကဲ့ဆို
it's a helpful exercise right but it's something that we all know or we sometimes know to do, right? That we allay, you know, our minds, fears, and stuff with reasonable thinking, right? But he says it is superficial because it doesn't get rid of the root of the problem. We can have these again and again, right? And also, if it's a stronger anxiety or a stronger desire, we find it difficult to just talk it away, right? To just replace it with a wholesome thought. The thought doesn't work anymore. Yeah, he said it's like, you know, the addictions that were mentioned just now where you might say to yourself, I know it's not good, I know, but you still end up doing it, you know, because it's really, that's not the mind's entrenched deep feeling about it, right? You can superficially tell yourself it's bad, but the mind doesn't believe it, right? So in those cases, it doesn't help. Seattle says, what we need to understand about the mind's states that come up in the present moment is that they are effects. Like I have anxiety now. That's an effect of habits and beliefs that I've already planted in the past, right? It's an effect of that. In the present moment, I have a choice for the current action to take, the karma to enact in the present moment. And he says the best way to do a kusala in the present moment is to bring in the five faculties, the indriya, meditation, awareness. Because he says, so because you said replace the unwholesome with the wholesome, and he said what he wants you to understand is that the wholesome you want to bring in to, not so much to replace the unwholesome, But the wholesome you want to bring into the moment is the awareness, rather than the just right thought.
And awareness itself will know what to do.
Not yet. Not yet. Yeah, so you bring in the awareness in the moment, and maybe there will be right thought and all that, but awareness is really the key, because if awareness is present with the right thought and everything, then your mind has a chance to learn about the cause-effect processes. And then eventually there'll be right understanding. And when there is true understanding about what's happening, it's awareness that leads to wisdom. And you know, experiential wisdom is what uproots the it takes out the root of the problem,
mm-hmm.
so that it doesn't occur again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a deeper understanding. So for that deeper understanding to happen, you need to have awareness with whatever you do in the present moment.
Okay.
We all sort of know that, you know, anger isn't helpful, greed isn't helpful, right? It's not skillful.
I think they are. I'm
But our. But, you know, our understanding that greed or anger is not skillful is not very strong. Because when we are faced with something that really shakes us, we get into an intense passion about it. It's all forgotten. Whether it's skillful or unskillful is forgotten, you know, because the anger takes over and it thinks it's right. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, or the greed takes over and thinks it's good. Yeah. So in a way, we need to check how much we understand, how much we truly understand that greed is unskillful or anger or dosa is unskillful. And to do this, we have to be aware of greed every time it arises, be aware of anger every time it arises, be brave. Really look at it, because that's how we're going to learn that it's really unskillful. And when we really know it, then the mind will let go of it slowly, more and more.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second question was, maybe when the, just seeing the objects and just kind of letting go and just calming down in the present moment with whatever comes, it seems as if the hindrances are very slowed down, and there's maybe only one object at a time coming into the mind, and becomes very maybe peaceful through that.
This is in sitting meditation.
Yeah, but not through necessarily a grabbing hold of something, but just observing everything that's coming in, and then kind of the objects simplify themselves.
Uh-huh.
Is this, do I just continue with this experience? Or should I grab on to another one of the senses, or maybe... If it's,
when you say letting go, what do you mean?
Letting go, just experiencing whatever is in the present moment.
Then
at a certain point, the body's calm. There's not much to deal with in the body.
Mm-hmm.
The breath may be there, may not be. There's sound, may be there, maybe not there. And it's kind of simplified. It's kind of just very peaceful, just staying in that state. Not
but
trying
you're
to
still
do anything.
Aware.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very strong. I feel like it's strong mindfulness.
Tua, jadi tanya, tua kita ayun ni, titi lagi deh. Tapi tu bau mat, makat tau benda tizi asyik tau, titi. Oh, tapi bi yuk dia nyen lah deh, cara, oh, terkhan li cai, cama macai macai. Tapi titi lah titi deh, nyen lah deh, tak an nyen lah deh. Cara lain tua, oh ayun ni simplify kita lah dulu benda. Stay with the awareness.
Use this when you do the majority talk, so it's going to ensure the quality of the recording.
So stay with the awareness.
ยินดีอาก้องล่ะครับยินดีเนี่ยเชิญซะล่ะประมาณเรายกไปไม่ติดเลยตรีอาก้องล่ะก็สึกกูเห็นล่ะครับสึกไปไม่ดูเห็นตาตาตะบาวะเว้ยครับตะดิตะมานี่ก้องล่ะก็โหตะมานี่ก้องล่ะยินสึกกูปูเห็นล่ะครับตาตะบาวะเว้ยไอ้ขันนี้ตัวเราสึกกูปูติดล่ะครับไอ้เราดูๆเว้ยคัดสินเลยครับไอ้เราสึกไปกูตูปูติดล่ะแล้วยกก็ไม่ติดตัวเพิ่นล่ะครับเนาะไอ้เราตัว
So Sarah says, you know what's happening is So there is Sarah says it's a natural progression when we are being aware that, you know, as the sati becomes more continuous, the samadhi grows, the stability of the mind, the balance stability grows. And when that happens, what you're noticing is that there the mind is going less and less to the physical objects. The mind is staying more and more with the mind objects. Do you sort of say that? So it's very similar to when we go to sleep, you know, as we are falling asleep, we know less and less of the body and we know more and more of the mind, that the mind is kind of quieting down and, you know, entering sleep. So it's the same in sitting meditation, that the stuff in the body, the hearing, the feeling and all that, you know, sort of calms down. We're not so aware of them, but we become very aware of the mind, and that's the clarity, the quietness that you see. Right, but you must sort of remember that this is the mind. But it's not useful just to watch the quietness, because we can get sucked into it, because we can't see that it's the mind. Right? Yeah? When you cannot see that it's the mind, it doesn't change. So we just see quietness as a, like a concept, and then it's unchanging. So then we get sucked in. So if you stay with the awareness, if you keep recognizing that there is awareness, awareness stays strong, because awareness keeps working, right? What you can do if you want to investigate the state of the mind at that time is to what you can do, he said, is to notice the different qualities, like look into that quietness and notice the different qualities that belong in there. It's not just quiet. It could feel resilient. It can feel clear. It can feel light. It can feel expansive. There's many different qualities to it, and you can check. That can be tranquility or joy. You know, there are different qualities. Strength. All these are different qualities that can belong in, you know, various and because it's a sukha object, because it's not dukkha, right? It's a pleasant object. Because it's a pleasant object, it's not unpleasant at all. Seattle says it's easy for the mind to start getting indulging in the pleasantness and get sucked in, and then forget to be mindful. So that's why it's much more useful to notice the awareness, right? So that if some sneaky, stray bit of attachment starts to sneak in, you will notice, you know, thoughts of, oh, this is so nice and stuff like that. So you know, Sarah says what happens is that now this is happening, it's a natural progression, but we don't know that what we have ended up seeing is the mind. It's another level to recognize that something is mind. Okay, that's like a realization, oh, this is mind, you know. But when we don't realize that something is mind, we sort of see it conceptually. But at that time, we have very little bodily objects to observe. And that's when, you know, yogis use words like there are no objects, or like you said, the objects get simplified. It's as though there are less objects. But actually, all you are noticing is that there are less physical objects, less of the tangible objects that we usually observe, and there's an intangible object that you're now observing, but you don't think of it as an object because the mind doesn't realize that.
Or maybe one object and not multiple facets of it.
The mind conceptualizes it, so it doesn't see that it's a living, you know, being thing, you know, in the mind.
You talk about mind door, physical five sense door, the mind door. Awareness are developed, Mashiach.
He says awareness is in the mind, right, on the mind side.
Five sense door,
and the five sense
rupa,
doors,
bodily sensation.
The five sense doors are in the
mind
physical.
Door. Awareness are developed, Mashiach.
Awareness is in the mind, okay?
Inside the mind state would think.
Now you know the mind state.
Okay?
The mind state is like the environment of the mind. Okay, and so then it feels like the physical senses are further.
The detail in our thing, the mind is obviously. And the detail, object in it. The five sense draw, we draw the detail.
So the mind, the awareness is inside the mind door, and now you're knowing the environment of the mind. He says the physical senses seem like they're further away. But if you stay with the awareness, because the awareness is in the mind, you will still know the mind state and the awareness itself. But because the awareness is the one thing that you work on, you know, the state of mind, you can't shift it, but awareness, you can keep it going. So knowing the awareness is helpful.
Awareness of the time is that awareness are up.
And
but it also you need to go,
It's really helpful to keep recognizing. It's really helpful to keep recognizing that the awareness is still working, because one, if you keep recognizing that the awareness is working, the awareness keeps getting stronger. If you don't recognize the awareness, you also won't recognize when the awareness starts slacking off. Right? So you won't notice when it starts fading.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you won't notice when the greed starts coming in. Or aversion, whatever, delusion.
So it would be wrong to maybe be sucked into that quality of mind. I know that with the samasamadhi, there's the four jhanas.
Yes.
So if we're sucked in and then come out, and we come back to that awareness of out of the state. And
there's
then
whole debate about what jhana is. So let's not even that's not jhana. Yeah, getting sucked into is not jhana. In any jhana, there is awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, knowing the awareness is what enables you to stay. You know, he says to even come out of jhana, you have to know the awareness. If you don't know that this is the mind state, if you don't know the awareness, he says, then you will get sucked in. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There is a difference between how jhanas are defined in the suttas and the commentaries. So.
Yeah, okay.
So during my meditation experiment, I had to deal with happy, sad, angry, and the mind come naturally to investigate the true feeling of the mind. And other experience, I got that the mind strongly rejected, didn't want to investigate or didn't want to see the reaction of the mind. And the other experience I have that, you know, it needs to be reminded to, you know, see the reaction of the mind. So my question is, the last two, is that the correct practice or not?
So when your mind doesn't want to investigate,
yes,
the reactions,
strongly,
you
yeah.
remind yourself to actually
yeah.
watch them.
But I know the naturally calm, then we just go with that.
Yeah, yeah. Reaction. What? You're only time, so reaction is shiba, so ba so, or shi re, so ba so, to one re, do da pite, one ta re, no no shi re, to da re chi re, reaction is chi re, kesa mo shi, ba anpio. Tama ta khat ni tu mien ne re, tu se ka,
มันจี้จิ๋มไอ้รีแอคชั่นนี่มันจี้จิ๋มอ่ะสิตัวเนี่ยตัวนี่ล่ะเว้ยตัวนี่ล่ะだめไอ้สึกกูตัวเปลี่ยนไม่มาเอาตัวโหอ่ะซ้อมมาเลยป่ะหมอจี้อ่ะมั้ยจี้ไอ้หลอลงตึนล่ะอืมจี้ปู่ก็จี้ปู่ก้องน่ะป่ะตัวเนี่ยสึกกูจี้อ่ะตัวนี่เนี่ยสึกกูเปลี่ยนจี้อ่ะมาตัวอายุทับเปลี่ยนตัวนี่อ่ะไอ้ทับเปลี่ยนตัวน่ะดิเบ้อ่ะดิเบ้อ่ะสึกกูจี้
So he says, so you have all these, you know, you have sadness, happiness, anger, whatever in the mind, and then you have, your mind doesn't want to watch these reactions, right? Watch these emotions. When that happens, Yaro says, it's more helpful to watch the that not wanting to watch them.
Yeah, I watch it, and it's have like, that's it, I don't want to think about it, let's move to the next object.
Just know that.
Keep knowing it.
Must be watching it continuously. So long as it's there, you keep watching it. So you don't follow what it tells you to do, you watch it. You keep watching it. Okay? Yeah.
What about the remind? Do we need to put the effort to remind us to see deeply the feeling of the mind? Or
deeply?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like try to see the reaction. Do we need to remind our mind to go through that path?
What path?
You know, like watching the reaction of the mind.
So do we need to remind ourselves to watch the reaction of the mind?
Yeah.
But you're already doing that, right?
Well, sometimes you need the effort. I mean, for me, the experiment, you know, it's like a feeling, you know, pain and you know, first reaction is, you know, sometimes it get used to the habit that look at the body instead of look at the reaction of the.
So you remind yourself to look at the reaction.
Is that okay to do that?
Yeah, to go to pian pian, remind of say go pian, say to pian now pian.
Remind of
yes, then you must. You must. He says you must remind yourself to come back to watch the reaction in the mind.
Yeah, come
back.
I will check.
So Seattle says, you know, our minds have a natural law. When there's something the mind thinks is pleasant, it likes it. When there's something the mind thinks is unpleasant, the mind dislikes it. This is normal nature of the mind. And we have to train ourselves to recognize that mind that likes it and dislikes it. And it's helpful for you to know why we have to do that. He says, you know, like, for example, there's pain, the mind doesn't like it, right? Why do we watch the mind that doesn't like the pain rather than the pain? Because, Yadav says, when we watch the mind that doesn't like the pain, we become skillful at watching that reaction in the mind. When that reaction is gone, he says, then that pain doesn't feel painful anymore. We have a different view of the pain. So it's helpful to understand that the reason, so it's not to make pain go away, it's to understand the real nature of pain. But the real nature of pain is not the painful that we feel when we are reacting to the pain. Okay? So we have to watch the reaction. So when we are skillful and watching the reaction, we've been watching it a long time, and the reaction calms down, and we look back at the pain, we see something else. We will see something. You will see the sensation or whatever it might feel like, intense, whatever. But without the reaction, it's a different experience. Whenever you have a reaction to something, watch it continuously. Keep looking at the reaction. It's still there, it's still there, it's still there. And what will happen when we see the reaction change? So we really want to see the reaction change and how that changes our view of things. And he says, when we've trained ourselves to watch the reaction, he says, then we will, because we watch it so much, we will really see these cause-effect relationships between the mind and the body and how it experiences things. He says, our usual way of doing it is either we watch the pain or we can't stand the pain, we watch the breath or something like that. We never really understand why it hurts, why it doesn't hurt. But when you watch the reaction in the mind, you will start to understand when it hurts, when it doesn't hurt, why it hurts, why it doesn't hurt. Okay, so watch the reaction.
Oh,
yeah, and you will know when the reaction is there and what the experience is. When the reaction is not there, you will also know and what the reaction, what the experience is.
Because it may change your thinking of maybe go back to investigate it yourself.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. You have to watch. Just be patient with watching it every time, and for as long as possible each time that you watch it. And sometimes if it feels difficult to even watch the reaction, he says, remind yourself that this is an object. It might help. Okay? This is nature, this is an object, that sort of thing.
So my second question is, can you explain about the awareness of awareness?
Now, just be aware of something. Are you aware of something now?
I'm sitting right now.
Okay, you're aware of it? You're aware. You keep being aware. Keep being aware, yeah? You recognize that you're aware of it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
The reason I ask, I just want to see if whatever I experiment is that what it is.
Recognize the awareness, and the awareness of awareness to do it.
Yeah, if you recognize your awareness, it means you know. It means you are aware of the awareness. Yeah, the words get confusing for some people.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's okay. Up behind there.
Thank you. So I wanted to follow up from my original question a couple days ago about being just overwhelmed by negative memories in the morning and just unable to settle. And after I asked the question, I suddenly realized that it used to be all day long. Mm. And now it's just early in the morning, so thank you very much.
He says, you see the power of a question. It forces wisdom to come out and think. The right question can help wisdom to awaken. He says when he finds himself stuck, he says he asks himself a question about what's happening right then. Sira says it's really helpful, you know, to understand wisdom, that, you know, wisdom is a part of our lives already. He says, think about the times in your life that you have wisdom, that you've used wisdom, right? In the simplest of ways to the more profound ways. We've used it when we cook, you know, the way we, you know, turn off our faucets. There are so many little examples of being wise, and, you know, there are the bigger examples of being wise. And I'm sure we all have many of them. He says, and when we are in a bind and we need to think about what we need to do, we think, what shall I do? Right? And that's when we're bringing in the forces of our wisdom. And what he wants us to see is that it's not the question per se that answers the question. It's the forces that the question brings in, the power that the question brings in. When we question something, the rest of our mind follows, you know, with the powers of wisdom that it already has. And it brings them in to feel through the question. And something might be found, you know, to do. If suddenly there's chaos in our lives, you know, sometimes we sort of step back and we think, what happened? We want to tease out the components of it.
What's cooking?
He said it's always the WHs, you know, the who, what, when, where, why. And And then there's the H. So he says these W and H questions are really... So in our lives, he says, we ask these W and H questions when we need to solve things. Which means when we need to solve things, we're going to bring in our wisdom, right? The ones that we already have. So it's very helpful in meditation as well, because it will bring in the same pattern of wisdom. See, this is very interesting. Sometimes yogis tell him the experiences. You know, they did this and all these effects happened and, you know, these good effects happened. And then he asks them why. And he says,
when he asks them why,
their eyes become bigger. They're curious because they want to know too, but somehow they don't know yet. So they're the ones with the experience, but they don't know why. And he knows this is our reaction because every time his teacher asked him the who, what, when, where, why question, how questions, his eyes became bigger. And so then he said every time his teacher would ask him those questions, he would really want to know, and then he would go back to the meditation hall with these questions in mind. He would never be sleepy in those periods, he says, because then he would be curiously observing. But sometimes there's too much greed to know that he gets very tense. So he says for, you know, some types of mind, or sometimes when the mind is ready, you know, it's not like we deliberately ask ourselves questions all the time. That's not necessarily a useful exercise. But like when the mind is ready, sometimes it comes up with a question, or when the mind is stuck, if we will give the mind a question, it can really help to sort of bring out that same patterning of the mind, which like comes in curious and wants to observe in order to understand a little more. And the wonderful thing about bringing in wisdom is that, you know, then we don't have to try to be aware. Because when wisdom is present, awareness is already present. Yeah. Wisdom cannot be present without awareness. He says, so it's a pity to not understand how useful wisdom is in our practice. That we can use the wisdom we have in our practice. We should. You know, that we spend our whole lives thinking of meditation as awareness alone, but he now explains that awareness as in sati alone, you know, we think of it that way. And he now explains that, you know, awareness means that all the five, when we are in a moment of awareness, all the five faculties are working together. And we can sometimes choose to also use the other faculty, wisdom, or some of the other faculty, yeah, but wisdom is something that's very helpful.
So the other thing I realized was that all these negative memories, it's several walk-in closets full of negative, that when Sayadaw had been saying be neutral or think of them neutrally, I was trying to turn these wretched things into have a neutral judgment about them, but they are wretched. And so what I finally realized was, no, they are wretched. It's the awareness that needs to be neutral. That's easy. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. The ball pop la to memory re are ho biro re di di changa ne ho na ya ho ho ba le bien le jati shi de na elo biro re a myai pye de le. Every
any memory there, a wretched look or a wretched sura. So piata.
How
about you? Sure. Come with me. No, I should or sick or the bottom and neutral lo yu so tua ba lo ni le so ro de di ha re yo da re ya neutral ba da di ayon ni o neutral ba lo yu bo chou sa ni de de da ba me a ku tu tbo pao da ayon wa tu a ku yo yo ta ta lak khan lai do ayon wa neutral mo ba ure ayon wa de ge so ba le de da me tu de di ya neutral phit lo ya le lo na le a ra yan ji
ta ba ho ba le ji de sai ka neutral de ji ya ma
ayon
wa lo gao gao so su na ayon wa ayon wa.
That's right. He says it's just the awareness that needs to be the, to be neutral. The object is just the object, and it's
nature.
And he says the story in the memory, the story is wretched, right? But the mind is just the mind. The memory is just a memory. But the story inside, that's the wretched bit. But
story, yes, sure.
The fact of memory happening is neutral. The fact of the mind arising is neutral. And when the mind is able to do that, when the mind finally sees that this is just a memory in the moment, that the present moment is a memory arising, and that feels neutral. That something is arising now, something is happening now. This is neutral. The story in it may be wretched, but the happening, the moment of arising, that's just happening. That's all it is.
That's very helpful. So my last part of my question is
what awareness and neutrality.
And he says, it is, you're right, that the most important thing is that the awareness should be when we can have it neutral, that is neutral, yes. Yeah.
So,
he says, you know, the awareness, you know, sometimes it puts on colorful glasses, rainbow-colored glasses.
I like the red-tinted glasses.
I need to take it, hold on. Yeah, he says clear is good.
So my question about awareness is the open awareness is quite big.
Big.
It's spacious. Very spacious. And within that there's nobody present to grasp at ideas or thoughts or whatever. So it has that sense of open possibility. And it starts to degrade with what I call crawl. So you know on a television screen there's the crawl down below that tells you the the weather or the money or whatever, which team won. So the awareness degrades with those little tiny thoughts starting, and then of course they get bigger and bigger, and then the next thing I know I've gone, I've followed the thought. So my question is, what's the skillful way to deal with a crawl?
What do you do when you notice there's a crawl? Do you look at it?
A crawl.
ชื่อเพื่อนอายุจิเน่เลยตวยติติเนี่ยผิดน่ะติล่ะนี่ตูเลลุชุล่ะไม่ติตะเพียงไอ้ไอ้ตวยเนี่ยจี้ปะตู้คล้วมมุดออกเออตู้เมยเลยไอ้ห่านี่ตะติท้าไม่ได้ขาตู้แท้ๆจี้ล่ะไม่จี้อูล่ะนี่ติไม่ได้มั้ยเออตวยนี่มันตะตาโซยิงจ้างกันเนี่ยเต็มมวยน่ะนึกผิดนี่เออตัวเต็มมวยเราจี้อ่ะมั้ยจี้อ่ะเต็มมวยเราตีไหนไงตัวอ้าวหมดอ่ะตัวเต็มมวยเราเมียนล่ะเมียนตัวเมียนเนี่ยพี่แล้วตัวแท้ๆไม่จี้หรอตัวปูปู
So, your question, what do I look at? I try to I try to go back to the spaciousness.
So I'll just tell you what he's saying. So don't look at the spaciousness because the spaciousness is again like an object. It's like the environment of the mind. You know, you always want to come back to home base, the awareness itself, especially when you come to abstract things like the spaciousness. And also he says, you know, the ticker tape or the crawl, don't ignore it. Knowing the crawl means that you know subtle things in the mind, which means the awareness is strong, which is also why it's spacious. So it's because the awareness is strong that you can see the crawl and the spaciousness, but you need to acknowledge the crawl. If you don't acknowledge the crawl and you don't recognize your awareness, what is happening is whenever the mind notices the crawl, in the back of the mind, it started thinking about the crawl. Unnoticed to you, the mind is starting to participate in the crawl's line of thinking, and that's why it grows. So he says, please acknowledge the crawl, know it. Don't be attached to the spaciousness. So don't take spaciousness as an object. Spaciousness is again, although it's a result of the way, you know, the strength of the awareness, he says again, it's conceptualized. So, you see? So we're not seeing that it's mind, we're thinking of it as spaciousness, and space is a concept. Space is a concept, so again, not recognizing mind. So it's always good to come back to awareness. Because awareness is working. Recognize the awareness is at work.
Thank you very much.
เนี่ยโอเพ่นเวเนสรู้เลยเปล่าเลยตัวนี้โอเพ่นขึ้นนี่เราก็อารมณ์อยู่อ่ะมาโอเพ่นเวเนสบาจ้องขึ้นมาเลยสรุปไส้กูเหมียนลงขึ้นตัวตีนี่ในไส้กูเปลี่ยนตีนี่ตีในไส้ก็อารมณ์อารมณ์ตีได้ด้วยตัวเจตุขึ้นตัวแต่มันตัวเราไส้ลงไปไส้ลงมันอยู่ในเจตเราออบเจกต์ตัวอยู่เจตเราอยู่ตัวเจตไอ้เจตเราบาจ้องขึ้นมาเลยสรุปตีนี่เราเปลี่ยนตีได้ด้วยตีในไส้ก็ตัวอย่างอารมณ์ตีได้ด้วยตัวเจตเปลี่ยนลงขึ้นตัว
So Sarah's just explaining that when we use the expression open awareness, some people like to use it. I don't really like to use it, but yeah, some people like the expression open awareness. They have to understand what he's talking about and why we get there and what we do with it, right? So he says when the awareness is continuous and we begin to recognize the awareness and we are able to stay more with that recognition that the awareness is working, what happens is that all the six senses, the physical senses and the rest of the activities of the mind, is recognized by the awareness. So it feels like you're sitting in a space and seeing all the activities that's happening around you from one spot. So it feels like you're sitting in a stadium and seeing everything that's happening in the stadium. So that feels, that's the openness that we feel because all the senses are available to know. Because we're with the very faculty that can know, the awareness itself, right? So that gives that sense of spaciousness. But we don't recognize that this is the mind. We don't recognize this is the mind. So then we get stuck on the openness or the spaciousness rather than recognizing the sort of the factor that actually enables it, which is the awareness and the way it works.
So in that space,
in that space,
you're supposed to recognize mind.
You're not supposed to.
No,
you're not supposed to. Just know that, you know, the mind does conceptualize.
When is the thing? Mind will be.
Yeah. When we know the awareness, we know the mind. That's enough. That's good enough. Okay.
So we're to stay in awareness at that point, saying to
that's
ourselves
it.
Quietly, "This is mind awareness."
Well, don't say it to yourself if that's not what you understand yet. Right? You want the understanding to come. As you watch the awareness, the mind will one day realize that this is mind. You have the information already. We have the information already, and when the mind is ready, the realization will come. When it comes, we will understand what to name it, and that's what this information is for. It's to help you to name it when the realization comes. Okay, the openness, he said, comes from feeling like we know many things, because all the senses are available to be known. If initially, you know, we started practice with one or two objects, then we always felt more narrow in our vision or focus. And now being sort of set free, of course, it just feels more open because we can be, we're open to know any object we want. So that also makes it feel open. Yeah.
So it's still just staying with awareness of the awareness.
Yeah, recognizing there's awareness. Yeah. Yes.
I just want to clarify, open awareness, same like light awareness. Is that right?
Light awareness and tumala, open awareness.
Light awareness.
Light awareness.
What did you say was in the book, the light awareness?
I didn't say that.
Who said? Somebody read something from... Yes.
It's called light awareness, which just means that you're not... concentrated.
How do I cool town?
Same, right?
Awareness of being.
Yeah. If you recognize your awareness, that's good enough. The words are just words, okay? Yeah. The words are not important to describe
awareness
your
awareness. Awareness of mind.
When we recognize the awareness, we are recognizing part of the mind. So. Or the mind itself, so, you know, it's okay, it's enough.
Can I clarify one thing?
Let them have a chance.
First of all, I'd like to express my deep appreciation to the teaching, and you. I try to bring it into practice for the last, since the last interview. So, here's the report. The thorough awareness is about 20-30% of the total time. But the walking about 6 hours since the last review. The sitting is about 10 hours. So in the morning, wake up and I know. There's the awareness of waking up. What's next? Get out. Do a chore. But keep one chore after the other chore. But before the next chore, I already had what next? And lead me to the next chore. Routine, driving the car, just next after next, sitting. When I'm showering, I say, what next? At the sitting. What's the primary object and secondary object? So there's intention, say, do with routine, has been thought, and then choose secondary as a sound.
So I want to cool. Pinda you there. Pick secondary. Oh, be I you there.
Okay.
Sit down. Routine. After next, do what? Follow. Breathing in and out, awareness of the rising and falling, but simultaneously, there's aware of the tension of the abdomen and the loosening of the abdomen, less tension. And after a while, there's the thought, the intention is the cause of this and this, and I'm doing all this. And then the breathing, the in-breath is a cause for the out-breath. And the out-breath is the cause for the in-breath. And it's a circle like that.
That
is the
thing.
That's not quite right.
That's quite right.
Not quite right.
But that's a thinking.
That's just thinking. Okay, that's not understanding. Okay, that's fine.
The Burmese ladies have come to offer lunch, Dana. They don't know what to do.
She did call me. I asked her to go to the dining room to talk to the dining room staff.
Sun Jiang would want
I can help.
Okay. You need to ask your question. First of all. Okay.
Thank you.
Hi.
It's recording.
Oh, it's recording. Okay.
And it's not simultaneously, but it seemed like simultaneously. I noticed sound, and sound come from different sources.
Mm-hmm.
Either walk, steps, or open the door. Just notice that, but I don't differentiate later on.
Mm.
It's just sound, just sound. And there's a realize that doesn't matter the cause of it, what caused the sound. It start and finish. And that person had a feeling, had a thinking. Yes.
So nice. You thought like that, okay.
And
Sarah says it's better if you don't think too much about not this sort of thinking about the way you're experiencing things. He says it's better if you just, like if you know a sound, actually hear the sound, you know? The thoughts will still come. So he says when the thought comes, recognize the thought. Like actually look at the thought, okay? That's the awareness. So be aware of everything.
And then aware of the thinking.
Yes.
And aware of the thought.
Be aware of the thought.
Yes.
Otherwise, you will keep thinking these thoughts. So be aware of it.
So far,
You said that, you know, when you say next, you have to do a next activity, right?
That is the intention for the next.
Okay,
that,
so...
That is the intention for what next.
Yeah, the planning, right?
Yes,
planning what to do next. And after that, what are you aware of?
I'm aware of the body toward that.
The body moving.
The body moving.
So you're aware of all your...
that, the task, that, the intention.
Okay, so you are aware of all your movements and thoughts throughout that activity.
Right.
You are. So when you're driving, you're aware you're driving.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Sitting, seeing, driving.
Okay, great. Okay, that's all we got. Yeah.
Okay. Next are the planning machine and next thing allow.
Right. It's good to know the planning mind because it bridges activity to activity with awareness.
We cannot do anything.
Yeah.
I have only one question. About like this morning, I woke up at 2:45 in the morning because I heard the people snoring.
How
that
you know?
Yeah. So, and I just open my eye and just think about if I get upset or I get mad for that, I heard that sound.
Don't have to say that.
And I think I...
He said, also think about being aware, aware of the... So there is some awareness. That's why you can think about it before getting angry.
But
continue to be aware of.
Yeah, but how I thought, think to myself, I did not get mad to whoever I heard this morning. But I think about they might have some health problem, sinus problem, or something like that, or sleep apnea. So I didn't get mad at all for
same as all.
And I just got up and I washed my face and brushing my teeth, and I came back to my bed and sitting meditation. So I just do rising and falling, but when I'm doing that, the snoring is loudly. It's different.
And so you're not hearing?
Yeah, but it really. So I make focus on. The snoring, like they have different sounds. More than ours.
Yeah. So you.
Yeah, I can hear the different sound, like a music.
So you did that.
Many instruments.
Yeah, that's why I just get. That's why I just heard. I never observed like that. It's my first time.
The karma alone will not hold up for tomorrow.
Hearing
look
like what? Tell.
Oh, very good.
Can I do again tomorrow morning?
If you wake up, you can, yes.
Thank you.
So you see, when the mind doesn't think it's a disturbance, the mind can use it as an object to be aware of.
Yes.
Thank you. Another instrument.
Microphone lo jene lo ya mya yin le. Okay, just it's there now. Let it be there. No, just stay there. You finish and then I can come here. Thank you.
A moment ago, you all were talking about words as a using words to describe our experiences in meditation.
Yeah.
I have found, I think, just from ever since being a child, I've always had a very strong internal dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And that continues as a part of my practice often. And I often find that when words arise in my mind to describe what I'm experiencing, that it can create a lot of clarity. Mm-hmm. But then it also seems to fall back into thinking mind. And I've kind of realized that the thinking mind is the source of the words, not the awareness. Awareness doesn't have words. But I've often found when being aware for extended periods of time and really trying to let go or just letting go of those words, that a lot of delusion comes in, and I don't see things as clearly. And I can see that delusion, and I can be with it. And I'm just kind of wrestling with the with that, with the role of words.
Everybody has internal dialogues.
No, certainly.
The only difference is whether we know our internal dialogue clearly or we don't know. Whether we're conscious of our internal dialogue or we're unconscious of it. That's the only difference.
Sure.
Right? Or we're semi-conscious. So,
So there is no need to get rid of the words. There is only a need to recognize that they are there and their use, their function. Right? This is the nature of the mind.
This is the natural process.
This is the perception. It works all the time. Our mind works through the conceptual world by conceptualizing everything, right? So everything you know, your mind has named to you already. And when you name it, the mind remembers it better. It sees it more clearly. And if when we cannot name it, that's when we, you know, we feel kind of deluded about it, right? We don't even know what it is. When you come across something you can't name, you feel like you don't know what it is, right? So that's the work of perception. Right? And that's why information is so important. Because when we have the right information and we have an experience that we haven't experienced before, we can give it the right name instead of giving it the wrong name and sending us up the wrong path. Right? So words are very important. We just need to be able to use them in the right way.
I had some questions about my mind. A few years ago, when
what's your answer first?
A few years ago, I went to the funeral. And I'm staying there and I'm reading the Bible with somebody.
Just breathe in, breathe in. Aware you're breathing first, breathing out.
And I'm reading Bible with somebody and suddenly I feel something. And I told my husband, I don't understand. I feel like something happened. And they take me out of the funeral. They take me to the temple. And one of the men in the temple is tell my husband, take me home, let me sleep. But they didn't take me home, they take me to another place. And that place have Buddha and everything there. And I realize I'm singing. From I step in there, I'm singing, I'm dancing, but I know that I'm singing, I'm dancing. And I hear somebody told me, who are you? And I'm just standing and dancing and say, let me play a little bit. But as you know, I know about that. So after singing and dancing, and I say, oh, I know Buddha. And I'm singing, dancing for about maybe more than an hour. And people around me say, look, but I don't know who are you. And they ask me, who are you? So I don't know. I'm just singing, dancing, and smiling. And sometimes I saw somebody. I say, I know your name. And after I know everything I do. But for about an hour, I'm sit down. And I'm just praying. And that's gone. And I'm just the question. I don't know what happened in my mind. I know that. I know every moment I do. But I cannot control myself. But somebody asked, who are you? And I told them, that's in my name. And I'm just sit there for...
Okay.
Yes.
Sierra says this is not a problem, it's nothing. He says it's just like, you know, that our mind has a conscious mind, you know, what we know of ourselves, and there's an unconscious mind that we cannot see. And here there is like your unconscious mind is asking you to do things like sing and dance, and you can't see it. And your conscious mind, it knows that you're doing all these things. That's all. That's all. So nothing strange.
But it seems like not me, because
it's
not
me.
Yeah. But it's always the mind. Only the mind makes does things to this. Right? When we don't understand the nature of the mind, then we think it's something else that's taken over, because we, the conscious mind can't understand it. That's why if we have the right information, you know, then we can name it the right thing. Never think that it's some other being that has taken over. Then it gets complicated for the mind. Right? The Buddha only talked about Nama Rupa. He said no, he didn't talk about beings. Right? When we don't understand the mind, he says the mind is a strange animal. It can be really strange. It can do things that we don't understand. Yeah. And it gets worse if we get wrong information, right? People don't understand, they have their own occult views, and then they feed us this information, oh, you know, this happened to me, or I need to find some doctor to remedy it and all that. But if you just understand this is the mind, it's fine.
Okay, clear, right?
Yes, I know. My question is related to aversion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few days ago, after lunchtime, I'm in a room, and I keep awareness. I know things happen. Suddenly, I hear in dining room, there are a group of people. They talk so loud, and they talk about Buddha teaching. I feel like in my mind there's anger. And at first I think I shouldn't look at my anger, because I remember Sayara said just like the pen, we shouldn't look straight to the pen, but anger I apply the same.
Says when there is pain, you should watch the anger in the mind, the reaction. Now there is sound, there is anger, you should watch the anger in the mind. So you should watch the anger. Wrong formula.
Because I thought when we look aware of the anger will raise up. Is it right?
Only if you watch with the wrong attitude.
Wrong attitude and watch. Wrong attitude and watch. Right attitude and change.
If you watch anger with the right attitude, anger will go down. If you watch with the wrong attitude, yes, anger will get worse.
So I continue to watch and...
Watch what?
No, I continue to watch another mind. Just like I remember, say, oh, sound, just let it sound. That's nature, everything like that. The anger is not much go down. Then I remember now, we should aware about hearing. And
So you heard what he said just now. Between hearing and anger, what should you watch?
The anger.
Yes.
Anger going down, my hearing will be.
When there is no more anger, then you can watch hearing.
That's why I would like to ask Sajidhar to clear for me, because many times at home, I have to face to the anger, and I don't know what to do exactly.
Now you know what to do and how to watch your anger?
Yes.
Okay, so practice.
But I don't know what is the process of cause and effect? Because usually I should we look that?
Not yet. Just watch the feeling. You're angry, there's a feeling, right?
Yeah.
It's burning. Just watch that.
But after everything goes down?
After everything goes down?
Yeah.
Then you go back to what does the mind know? What is the mind aware of?
Then what is the lesson?
Then you have to wait for the mind to learn.
Yeah.
Lesson that sick at the thing other you was on.
What you know that you think that you be that?
But you come to be
that.
Yeah, if the lesson doesn't come now, you have to keep watching next time until the lesson comes.
Experience man, that's how the information you need.
So when you're observing your anger, the mind is learning, but you don't know yet what it's learning. Okay, so you have to watch the anger every time until the mind knows enough, and then it will tell you what it has learned.
So the mind will tell us automatically.
Yeah.
We don't have to think about it. Right?
When you have enough experience, yes, the mind will be able to tell you. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. No need to think. No need to think too much.
Not to think, because thinking is just thing.
Yeah, for you, no need to think too much.
Okay, next time.
There was one person that went besides Kosho. One person, no. Oh, to Piyomulo, to Piyomulo.
Okay,
next time.
Then I
come alone, no? Dinia, we can move.